Welcome back to His Time. It is Friday, January 9th. It is time for Creation Club. Good morning, Pastor Wirth.
Good morning, Andy.
Happy Friday to you.
And to you as well.
Well, thank you. Thank you. How is Epiphany going for you this year?
It's great. We celebrate that light came into the darkness, and that light is Jesus Christ, the light of the world.
Amen. Amen. Well, glad to get to celebrate that with you. What do you have for us this week on Creation Club?
Well, first of all, we would like to let our listeners know about the monthly meeting of the Missouri Association for Creation. So those who live in the greater St. Louis area can attend a meeting at the Family Vision Library, 2020 Parkway Drive in St. Peter's, Missouri. The meeting would be Monday, January 12th at 7 p.m. And what they'll be doing is showing a DVD presentation called Evolution's Achilles Heels, and that's plural, heels. And what they're going to do, and actually this is just part one of a 96-minute DVD, it has like 15 PhD scientists showing a whole bunch of things that, from a scientific standpoint, don't make sense with an evolutionary viewpoint, but make perfect sense with a creationist viewpoint. They talk about things like natural selection, genetics and DNA, the origin of life, the fossil record, the geologic record, radiometric dating, cosmology, ethics and morality, things like this that will be talked about by these scientists, and showing it once again that these are problems in terms of the evolutionary worldview, but they make perfect sense from a creationist worldview. And so, again, if you're in the St. Louis area, Monday, January 12th, 7 p.m., Family Vision Library, 2020 Parkway Drive, St. Peter's, Missouri. You can check that out. And if you aren't in the area, so our listeners who are not in St. Louis and can't attend this meeting, that DVD may also be made available through the Missouri Association for Creation, or they can tell you where you can get a copy of it. Again, the title of the DVD, Evolution's Achilles Heels.
Okay? Very good. Sounds like an interesting resource.
Indeed.
All right, so that's coming up January 12th. That's here in the St. Louis area. Let's broaden our travels a little bit and travel a little bit further.
From MAC, we go to MARS. We go to Mars. Okay, and people who are interested in things scientific and check the news, in recent weeks and recent days, actually, there's been information regarding the Mars rover and the photos they've been taking there. And a headline at space.com is, Do Mars Rover Photos Show Potential Signs of Ancient Life? What's this all about? Well, a careful study of images taken by the NASA rover Curiosity has revealed, quote, intriguing similarities between ancient sedimentary rocks on Mars and structures shaped by microbes on Earth. The findings suggest, but do not prove, that life may have existed earlier on the Red Planet. And photos were taken as the Mars rover Curiosity drove through the Gillespie Lake outcrop in Yellowknife Bay, a dry lake bed that underwent seasonal flooding billions of years ago. And that's quoting again from this space.com. Mars and Earth shared a similar early history. The Red Planet was a much warmer and wetter world back then. And we don't have time to read the whole article here. You can check it out for yourself at space.com. But let's hit some of the highlights and then kind of respond to it. Basically, on planet Earth, there's a thing that's referred to by geologists as MISS, microbially induced sedimentary structures. And on Earth, they're somewhat rare in terms of actually still existing, and they're usually found in shallow water settings, various places on the Earth, and they're laminated structures, that is, made up of layers, and it appears that what happens is you've got these microbes that are a kind of bacteria, and they use photosynthesis, and they make these little filaments, and they capture little particles of sediment and kind of cement them. And so you get little layers that get made out of this. And if the shallow water dries up, then you leave a little layer there, and then if water comes in again and the microbes are there again, you get another layer, and this can kind of build up over a period of time. And so so we actually see these on Earth, and they're also in the fossil record on Earth. So, in fact, they're somewhat more common in the fossil record than they are yet today. And so people have examined both the fossils of these on Earth, and they've also examined the living structures today on Earth. And now, a person who's done a lot of looking at these on Earth, a woman by the name of Nora Nofke, N-O-F-F-K-E, she's a geobiologist at Old Dominion University in Virginia. Mm-hmm. She spent 20 years studying these on Earth, and now she's very carefully examining pictures from the Mars rover and says, you know, there's a pile of this stuff on Mars that looks to me a lot like some of this stuff on Earth. And so she's comparing them, and she's suggesting that they look similar. There's a lot of similarities, in her opinion, as she examines these things. And so she thinks perhaps this is the strongest evidence yet that there could have been at one time life on Mars, some kind of microbial life in a wet Mars, if there were lakes and places where there was water, particularly if, like on Earth, it was shallow water, that it was there for a while, dried up, and then some more water came in, that sort of thing. So, quoting some other people who are examining her work, they say it's an intriguing piece to the puzzle of a possible history of life on Mars. It gives it makes a tantalizing case for possible signs, and yet is not definitive proof. One man, Chris McKay, a planetary scientist at NASA's Ames Research Center, says that I've seen many papers that say, look, here's a pile of dirt on Mars, here's a pile of dirt on Earth, and because they look the same mechanism must have made each pile on the two planets. And he says, you know, that's an easy argument to make, but it's typically not very convincing. However, Nofke's paper is the most carefully done analysis of the sort that I've seen, which is why it's the first of its kind being published in Astrobiology magazine. So it's intriguing to think about it. What does this mean for us as Bible-believing Christians? Well, first of all, let's just jump to the conclusion at the end. Would this prove, if it were true, if you could prove today that these structures they're looking at in these pictures were made by microbes in the past on Mars, would that prove evolution? And the answer is no, it wouldn't. You know, so people who start out with an evolutionary belief, when they see something like this, would say, ah, so we've now proven that there once was life on Mars, so it had to evolve there just like it evolved here. They believe in evolution, and so this is for them is proof of evolution. For us, looking at this with a belief in what the Bible teaches about creation, we say if there is or ever was life anywhere else in the universe, God made it. So life did not arise accidentally on Earth. It was created by God. And it couldn't have arisen accidentally anywhere else either. It would have been created by God if it were there at all. So it doesn't really prove one thing one way or the other. But let me just kind of go through this again. They have not proven that there's life there. They certainly haven't proven the millions and billions of years that they, you know, take for granted and spout off as fact, even though it's not proven fact. What is fact? Well, fact is that in all of human history and all of human study of life, never, nowhere, at any time, has anybody seen life arise from non-living chemicals. Never, not once. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that is deadly to the theory of evolution to begin with. It's never happened. Nobody's shown that it could happen. And so, you know, that doesn't make a lot of sense. And let's look at this another way. When we study these things on Earth, Dr. Nofke has studied this more than 20 years, studying the structures on Earth in these microbes, and says, oh, look how similar these are in photographs on Mars. On Earth, she and the other evolution-believing scientists claim that these were 3.5 billion years old, the ones in the fossil record. Then they compare them to living ones today, and they are, in her own words, exactly the same. And they believe Earth is 4.5 billion years old. So think about this. If you believe the Earth is 4.5 billion years old, that means in the first 1 billion years of life of Earth, starting out with no life, in 1 billion years you went from Earth, hot, inhospitable to life, no living stuff, just chemicals. And at some point, you're saying somehow in the period of 1 billion years, life arose, so that by 3.5 billion years ago, so the first 1 billion years of Earth's existence, somehow life arose from non-life and got complicated enough, complex enough to be these, what are they called? They're called cyanobacteria that perform photosynthesis and form filaments to trap sediment. So that's a pretty sophisticated, complicated life in that time period, and you're saying that somehow that arose, and there's no evidence for how that could have evolved in the fossil record. It's just, there it is. And now, there had to be a rapid evolution during that first 1 billion years from no life to life to get life this complex, and then it stopped. It didn't evolve into anything else. It didn't become either a different kind of bacterium or any other kind of organism, but stayed the same for 3.5 billion years. So the ones that you see today are exactly like the ones you see in the fossil record. Do you see any problems here? do you see that, you know, if evolution were true, I mean, there's everywhere you turn, there's a problem. First, we've never seen life come from non-living chemicals. Never. You know, it's a belief, a religious belief on the part of evolutionists, but it goes against all scientific knowledge that we have. Then, we've never seen any kind of life develop into anything else, because all life has information in it, right? The DNA in it, it's a coded information system. There's to change, to evolve into anything else, you have to be able to add information into the genes. Nobody has ever shown scientifically that did or can happen. So again, evolution has all kinds of problems there. And then when you have something like this, where here's a scientist who spent her lifetime studying these structures on Earth, and both in the fossil record and today, and she says they're exactly the same in the fossil record and today, and she's saying in the fossil record that those are 3.5 billion years old, then if evolution is true, then why in a period of 3.5 billion years is there no evidence of change there? You see, that doesn't make a lot of sense either. And so ultimately, you know, let's come back to, what does all this point to? You know, on planet Earth, these microbially induced sedimentary structures are evidence of life. You know, and in fact, I read up several articles on Answers in Genesis about this too, and there was, even among scientists, there was debate for a long, long time if this stuff is a really biogenic, that is it really formed by life, or does it only kind of look like it was made by life? And now it appears that not all, but some of these MISS structures do appear genuinely to have been formed by microbes, and you can see the living ones, and you can compare them to the fossil ones, and they say, okay, granted this. Now, the ages, as is so often the case with the evolutionary stuff, they make up the ages. You cannot prove, scientifically or otherwise, the 3.5 billion years. It's an article of faith. It's a religious or philosophical faith, believing in the millions and billions of years of evolution, because you think it would have to take millions and billions of years if it's going to happen at all. But that's not a proven fact by any means. And then, you know, when it comes down to it, to say, okay, now on Mars we see something that looks kind of similar, so maybe it was there too. For the evolutionists, they would say, well, we believe in evolution. For the creationists, we say, if that's really true, that there's microbially made sedimentary structures on Mars, and if you could prove it today, we would still say, what do you know? God made life there too, just like on planet Earth. There's all kinds of places on planet Earth where until recently, nobody knew there was life there. Nobody imagined that there could be life there, whether you're talking on the top of mountains, at the bottom of the ocean, at the ice caps, you know, at the poles and stuff like this. We are looking today in places where we could never have looked before, inside caves, in deserts, by volcanoes and by undersea vents in the ocean floor. There are places where before recent times we could never even look there and would not imagine that life could live in such environments. And today we look there and say, what do you know? God mm-hmm. made life there too. And again, it's not a proof of evolution by any means. We would say the diversity of life and the fact that life is found in all kinds of places on Earth, even at the bottom of the ocean, deep inside caves, on mountaintops, in deserts, all that points to us as a marvelous creator who marvelously designed all these different creatures, which comes back to, you mentioned Epiphany as we started. You know, what does God do in the beginning? There's darkness, and God says, let there be light, and there was light. God, by his almighty word, created the universe. He said, let there be light, there was light. He separated light from darkness, and as the creation week progressed, you know, God called forth vegetation. God made things to swim in the sea and birds to fly in the air. And as we heard Ken Ham say before the our program came on this morning, he made the land animals on day six, which included dinosaurs, and which included especially man, who was made in God's image. This is the way the Bible teaches it, and we believe it. And we believe it because God tells us in his word, and this is the word that tells us not only about creation, but especially about our redemption, because when we human beings who were created in God's image rebelled against him and sinned and deserved darkness and death and damnation, God promised and in the fullness of time sent Jesus Christ to be the light of the world, the light shining in the darkness, the light that has been shining now in our dark hearts, so that in the face of Jesus Christ, we see the glory of God. We have the forgiveness of sins because he lived and died and rose again for us and for our salvation. And that's why it's so exciting to talk about this, exciting to talk about creation and to see the truth of creation as we examine the news about people who believe in evolution and recent scientific finds. Yet we look at this with a biblical point of view.
Amen.
A point of view in which we look to Jesus as our Savior and believe that he is also our Creator.
Thanks, Pastor Wirth. We'll catch up next week.
Very good. We look forward to it.
God's blessings.
God bless you.